In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, this morning's Gospel is a testimony, a proof, an evidence to Jesus' understanding of our human nature. Indeed, we have all had the experience of the man who was giving the supper. You plan a celebration. You really work at getting things nice. All of your friends say they will attend. But at the last minute, the phone doesn't stop ringing with people making excuses. When he speaks, the man who gave the supper, Jesus, is of course telling us about himself and the disappointment that he feels over the people reject him while still claiming to be his friends. One of the distinguishing features of Christianity, the thing that makes Christianity, Catholicism, that makes us different from other religions, is the claim that our God actually intervened in the history of his people. Instead of just governing the universe from a comfortable point in heaven, Jesus actually took human flesh and human nature to himself and lived among us. Not only did he pass a few years on earth, but he literally offered his life for our salvation through the sacrifice of the cross. Now, if that claim makes Christianity unique, we also make one more claim that is even more unique: that Jesus, who lived and died far away and long ago, that this very same Jesus is with us today. That he did not limit his intervention into human history to just a few years and a few square miles. We know because he told us that he was going to give us his body and blood, and that this would be our necessary spiritual food and drink. And we know that he meant this promise quite literally, because it is recorded in the Gospel of St. John that some of his disciples could not believe what he promised. How can this man give us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink? They asked, finding it a hard saying. And sadly, many of them no longer went about with him. Yet, even though he lost some of his followers, we never hear Jesus saying that he was not speaking literally. Even though he lost some of his followers, we never hear Jesus try to explain that he would just give us symbols of his body and blood. He made no such explanations, because he meant it as plain and simple reality. He had demonstrated his ability to feed these very same men miraculously, multiplying loaves of bread and feeding them among the 5,000. Jesus spoke of his intention to remain forever with his people by giving them his flesh and blood. Not only did he speak of it, but he actually did it. The multiplication of loaves took place around the time of the Passover. So it would have been almost exactly a year later that he made good on his promise. At supper with his apostles, he gave them a new sacrifice and a new covenant, one that would replace the sacrifice of the Passover lamb with the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, a covenant that would replace the restricted, the limited one that God made with a single people in the desert, that would bind God to all of the faithful peoples of the world for the rest of eternity. So on the night before he died, Jesus took bread and wine into his holy and venerable hands and gave them to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat and drink of this, for this is my body, which will be broken for you. This is my blood, which will be poured out for you and for many for the remission of sins." And once again, he did not just simply say these things, but almost immediately thereafter, he gave himself over to the soldiers who would literally break his body and pour out his blood. So, dear faithful, by virtue of these most holy sacraments, Jesus is always with his people. Not just in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, but today and forever, as long as the world lasts. The continual sacrifice goes on. There is, of course, only one sacrifice. Jesus died once, but the sacrifice of the Mass, every time we celebrate Holy Mass, we assist Jesus by standing with him at the foot of the cross, making the sacrifice present right here in our own time and place. The sacrifice is renewed, and we are given his body and blood to eat and drink under the appearance of the sacred host. Host means victim, by the way. For the Mass is a sacrifice, one that we offer up together with our high priest, Jesus, for the forgiveness of sins. Only coincidentally is it a banquet. Just as some of the sacrifices of the old law could be shared by those who offered victims to God for their sins. But the banquet metaphor is a good one. Our Lord offers himself out of love for us and with the hope that it will bring us together to love one another. To love one another, as St. John says today, that he laid down his life for us, and we likewise ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And certainly, it was this idea of the sacrificial banquet that Jesus was speaking about in the parable we heard today. Jesus is the host. He has made a great effort to celebrate this Mass with us. God, who could have remained in heaven, became incarnate and died the death of the cross. God, whom we should seek at any cost to us, pursues us and waits for us patiently in the tabernacle or on the altar. Dear faithful, God forbid that we take the path of human laziness and be like those in the parable, I have bought a farm, married a wife, married a wife, have to see if the oxen work properly, so therefore I cannot come, I'm a busy man, please hold me excused. God forbid we be that way when we have the opportunity to serve Him, when we have the opportunity to attend the Eucharistic banquet. None of those who were invited will taste of my supper. None of those lazy men and women will taste of my supper. So the holy sacrifice of the Mass is a banquet of life. Let's be sure to be among those who don't turn down that invitation. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.